Hi, I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV. I am here in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest. And I'm with Don Luskin, a noted fan of Paul Krugman, writer, investor, and author of the new, very cleverly packaged book. I am John Galt, today's heroic innovators building the world and the villainous parasites destroying it. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
This book has basically 9 chapters where you alternate comparing modern figures in life to characters from Ayn Rand novels. Let's go over a couple of them. Bill Gates, of all people, is?
Henry Reardon. The mythic concept of Henry Reardon is the great innovator who devotes his life to creating technologies that completely transform the world, and no good deed goes unpunished. He ends up getting destroyed for the very value that he creates. And so that's certainly what happened to Bill Gates. Not only did he become completely vilified by the world that he transformed, but at the height of his powers in 1999 and 2000, his own nation's government sued him as a monopoly. In other words, sued him because he succeeded too much. That's when Bill Gates stepped down as CEO of Microsoft. Since then, the share price of Microsoft has never traded higher. Bill Gates has now gone from creating value to giving away value. So this is what happens when the collective crushes you. It's a form of the Stockholm syndrome. He's doing what they told him would be better. He's giving it away. Personally, I wish you'd keep making it.
Paul Krugman is?
Ellsworth Toohey, I think the most interesting character in all of Rand's fiction. He's from the Fountainhead, not Atlas Shrugged. He is the scheming, dwarfish newspaper columnist who uses his position as a newspaper columnist, a tastemaker, a truth giver, to undermine the heroic in all fields. And he sets as his particular enemy Howard Roark, the great creative, innovative, rebellious architect. So, like Krugman, Toohey is portrayed in the book as being physically puny, sickly, a guy with born with an inferiority complex, but a great mind, and so he transforms the fury of that inferiority complex into a take-over-the-world complex. My view, that's what Paul Krugman is trying to do. He's using the New York Times the way, in the book, Ellsworth Toohey used the New York Banner. The New York Times is the newspaper of record. Any lie printed there enters the history books as truth. So, basically what Paul Krugman does is he just pulls out whatever talking point is being generated by the far left blogosphere of hate, puts it on the pages of the New York Times, and enters the history books as truth to be cited by future scholars as a source beyond question. Well, starting about 9 years ago, when blogging was a brand new innovative technology, I started a project called the Krugman Truth Squad. Today you would call that crowdsourcing. We got a network of several dozen bloggers. We got together and said, all right, every time Paul Krugman publishes a new column, we're all just going to dissect it line by line. We're going to find every lie, every misrepresentation, every inconsistency, every out-of-context quotation, every politicized distortion. Figure that out as fast as you can. Email it to me. I'll stay up all night. I'll package that as a column for National Review Online. We did almost 100 of those over 6 years for National Review Online, and it ended up in pulling Paul Krugman's fangs. As a result of that, of our online column, the New York Times instituted for the first time a corrections policy requiring that errors, whether intentional or not, made by opinion columnists would have to be corrected. Just like for 100 years, the New York Times has punctiliously, almost absurdly, corrected the tiniest little errors made by its reporters. But they believed that there was no such thing as an unfair opinion. Well, we made them change that policy. And ever since then, fine, Paul Krugman wins the Nobel Prize in economics, but he has no stature anymore as a public intellectual. How is he going to influence people when he has to tell the truth?
Let's close out with just talking a little bit about Ayn Rand. She seems to be, what was the old Rolling Stone cover? He's hot, he's sexy, he's dead. I've always wanted to do that.
That's
on the cover of Reason, but my staff always talks me out of it. What do you see her resurgence in popularity? What does it indicate? How do you reflect on it?
Honestly, the surge in popularity in Atlas Shrugged has been politicized. Conservatives are using it to say, well, of course it's popular now because Barack Obama has created a world that's like the collapsing world of Atlas Shrugged, where a predatory government takes over industry, imposes arbitrary regulations, confiscation of wealth. Well, that's actually not what Atlas Shrugged is about. The main villain in Atlas Shrugged is actually a capitalist, James Taggart. The key duality in Atlas Shrugged are the brother and sister, Dagny Taggart, the good Taggart, and James Taggart, the bad Taggart. They're both businessmen. And what James Taggart does is, for the purposes of his own crony capitalism, he co-opts the government. So what you really have in Atlas Shrugged is an unholy alliance of corrupt crony capitalists and corrupt government. Now, that isn't a narrative that conservatives like to tell. That ought to be a narrative that libertarians like to tell, because, look, when big companies and big government gang up, who's the victim?
Right.
Individuals. And what are we libertarians about except individualism? So that's why Ayn Rand is researching.
The book is I Am John Galt. Donald Luskin, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you.